inevitable, and certainly that's exactly what happened in the Senate today. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, getting ready to glide into yet another weekend. Not even close. 79-17 was the final vote. Specifically, the act is called the Family Smoking and Tobacco Control Act, meaning now, once the president signs this into law, the FDA takes control, so to speak, although I think there's going to be massive head-butting still with the tobacco industry. But it's shocking that this kind of went under the wire, because Congress saying no to big tobacco, you think of all the money, all the support that has poured in over the years in Washington, D.C. How about people listening to us in tobacco states like Kentucky and North Carolina and South Carolina and Georgia? How do you feel about this ultimately? What will this do to the tobacco industry? For the most part, obviously, with the bipartisan cooperation, there was a lot of buzz I heard on the Hill. What they're saying is, factually wise, about 43.4 million U.S. adults smoke cigarettes. It carries pretty much an economic burden of $96 billion in medical costs and $97 in lost productivity, $97 billion. But how much money does it put into the pockets of the people involved in tobacco? A lot more than all of that combined. So this fight is not over. Tobacco ads especially will be targeted, I believe, in this more than anything, along with what can they do with nicotine. I mean, this is pretty tough legislation. This is not powder puff. You know, this isn't like saying, just say no to drugs and the war on drugs. This has got some teeth in it. I would love to find out what the tobacco industry, of course, they're not going to let you in their war room, so to speak, but I'd love to find out what they're going to come back with, because I'm sure there's going to be some legal wranglings going on. Probably, if you think of like R.J. Reynolds, and I did make a phone call to them. I knew I wasn't going to get anything from the company, but I tried nonetheless. And you think of Philip Morris, and you, again, many of the cigarette brands out there related to these two companies, and ultimately how they communicate to their audience. Wow. A huge, huge bill, to say the least, soon to become a law. So you've got 50% of U.S. tobacco, of the U.S. tobacco market, in the pretty much in Philip Morris's backyard, right? And you think of the top brands like Marlboro, and 18 to 25 year olds smoking that brand heavily, obviously. So how much will this cut back, as far as the youth is concerned, in turning them away from cigarette smoking? I said this on our last show. I have seen more people smoking than I think I've ever seen in my whole life. So will this be a serious deterrent? Will this help people break the habit? That's my question. In the meantime, obviously, still a lot of people saddened by what happened the other day at the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. One of the things that now is going to be a big topic of conversation is the internet and various websites. Not that there already hasn't been buzz about trying to regulate websites or shutting them down and all this other kind of stuff, and talking about, you know, what they're calling hate sites and hate speech and all the debate over that. But the one thing I don't want to get lost in it is the fact that the suspect, James W. Von Brunn, who's accused of shooting the guard and is pretty much well known by a lot of the watchdog people as a white supremacist, he's got ties to a lot of those websites. But the one thing I didn't want to get lost in this was the fact that an innocent man who had no ties to the museum, of course, other than working for the museum for 6 years, lost his life. And I said this a lot on our last show. Geez, you just think of his family and the fact that he actually let the guy in. He was trying to help him, this 88-year-old man. And sure enough, he had a long gun. And before you knew it, one guard was killed, another one was hit. So the museum's director had a chance to say a little bit about his heroics and then some thoughts on the museum and the protection of the museum as far as from outside world and things like this happening. And I thought it was great that the Today Show gave her a little bit of time. Here's a slice of that.
He was a wonderful individual, and first of all, I want to thank you for allowing us to pay tribute to Officer Stephen Johns today. He had worked for us for 6 years, and he really demonstrated that you could be a terrific professional and a very jovial, friendly human being. He always greeted us every morning with a great smile, and he was a very warm and friendly individual, and we at the museum are devastated by his loss. But he acted heroically and, of course, died in the line of duty yesterday. As I think you've reported, two of our officers did attack this assailant, and none of our visitors were hurt. So we feel that this actually worked extremely well in terms of how many people's lives were saved in this incident. And again, we want to commend our officers who responded so well and pay tribute to Officer Johns, who also behaved so heroically in this incident.
Yeah, and like I said, and she talked about the safety of the museum and what had happened and the fact that the guard originally helped him and then tried to do what he could, but it was too late. But what now is the offshoot of this conversation, besides the Holocaust Museum, but the fact that the web and the way it's grown over the past decade, a lot of people say it's become so vicious that there's too much of a forum for hate groups and twisted wackos out there whose views might otherwise leave them, you know, alone and isolated somewhere. But instead, they now have chat rooms and forums and all that other sort of stuff. The number of active hate sites has risen from 366 in 2000 to 630 last year. Now, these aren't my statistics. They're from the Southern Poverty Law Center's intelligence report. The number of active hate groups rose from 602 in 2000, according to their statistics, to 926. I think I've said that number before. But here's the deal. As much as I think there is twisted, sick, extremist nutballs, wackadoodles, morons, use any word you want to stick in there out there, I still would fight for anyone's right to free speech, because I've said this before, the problem is if you had too much regulation, if it was overregulated, then some of the freedoms that we enjoy could also, I think, get dangerously close to being knocked off the table, because who is going to be appointed as the czar of deciding what is appropriate and wasn't and isn't appropriate on the internet? And that's therein lies the problem. Who makes that decision? How do you decide? What's offensive to me might not be offensive to you, and vice versa. And of course, we know there are some things that are blatantly flat out when you want to call about hate and vitriol. We know that there are things out there that we can read, but it exists everywhere. And this is the thing that scares me, that this is a double-edged sword, certainly for the law enforcement agencies now, to try to track domestic extremists and prevent, you know, all this hate speech stuff. At the same time, is it an opportunity to go too far with regulation? What do you think? 800-259-5791. Kate with you on ATN.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online. online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
The bad economy doesn't have to mean bad business. The secret is good leadership. Join me for Lance on Leadership on WebTalkRadioNetwork.com, and I'll introduce you to fresh thinking and smart business strategies that will leave your competition in the dust. Take a few minutes each week to stretch your thinking and sharpen your focus. Break through the status quo so you can grow. That's Lance on Leadership on WebTalkRadioNetwork.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Walks early down the street with the brim pool way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of his feet. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorways and full of strip. To the sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust, yeah.
Yeah, I just am afraid I don't want to see another one of our rights bite the dust, ultimately. It's sad and tragic and awful what happened in D.C. But, you know, it's the same thing could be said, too, for, as we saw, these two soldiers, the one that was killed and the private that was killed and the other soldier who was wounded when the extremist Muslim nutball decided to go to a recruiting center and shoot guys in uniform and then said, well, I'm anti-military and what the United States is doing and this is the reason why and I don't care what happens. I mean, please. And then we hardly heard anything about it afterwards. I gotta say that that's just obviously just as bad in a completely different way. So, of course, there are always going to be those people out there. I just don't think I want to see and a massive amount of regulation in our lives, even when it comes to the internet. And there are things that are dead wrong, and I know it's scary when you have kids as to what they can see. Well, you lock it up. Don't let them, you know, you put those controls on it where they can't get to certain sites and stuff. And that might seem a little naive, but I know you can do it. Because I know people who are parents, and they've done it, and their kids can still use the internet for all the good positive things they can get from it, but they can't get into some of those websites because they're blocked. Don in Kentucky, you have the floor. Hello.
How are you doing, Kate?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Well, I want to comment on what you asked the people from Kentucky calling about all the smoking issue. I don't smoke, but I, as a person who's grown up in the state, it is vital to our state's economy. It is vital to North Carolina that those people who want to smoke have the right and the freedom to smoke. One, we're living in a time when our cars are now controlled by the government. He's pleading the case that in 8 weeks he has to have nationalized health care. Now he just took away the FDA is controlling another big, huge corporation in tobacco. And what was the other thing he did this week? He's out there telling everyone that, look, I'm not trying to control anything. I don't have anything. I have to take care of Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iraq and Iran. The president of the United States, have you tried to buy ammunition lately?
No, you can't buy ammunition. Don, you can't buy ammunition anywhere. Ammunition or certain kinds of guns. It depends on where you live, but you're right. No, you can't.
No, you can't find it.
I mean, yeah, you can't find it.
The market is, I mean, they're putting it out as fast, and it's going just as fast as they put it out.
That's right.
I've never seen it in my lifetime. Bill Clinton was a liberal and a Democrat, but he didn't scare people to death like this guy has.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. Obama is scaring people, and especially because of like you said, in stringing a bunch of things together when you talk about regulation, when you talk about the government's role, especially that, Don, is really getting under, I think, a lot of people's skin.
Well, consider this. Texas has already passed, what was it, about a month, 2 months ago, they passed their own Sovereignty Act.
Right.
Texas declaring their national sovereignty. And the last week, he's been forced to, but now he's been forced to take the government money. But the governor of the first state to secede in the Civil War, South Carolina, decided they didn't want to take federal bailout money.
I know.
And I remember reading several months ago, I think it was WorldNet Daily, that 23 states at one time had already had secessionist movements considered in them. That may sound extreme, and it may be a Ron Paul type of thing. One guy brings it out, and it just dies immediately. So it's the beginning, like nationalized health care. It didn't get to where it is now overnight. It took many years of building and building and building, and we have one president that seems to be taking all the states' rights away. Those little movements can all of a sudden become big movements, like a Tea Party that starts that movement towards the direction of states saying, hey, wait a minute. You're taking our rights. I mean, he's killing the agrarian nature of Kentucky, North Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, and Virginia. He's hurting us tremendously.
Right. That's what I said. I think that with this signed into law, that's why I called for, hey, anybody in Kentucky listening, this is money from your state in your backyard. If it's the FDA regulatory structure, I mean, supposedly they're going to allow for this research into how to reduce the harm of tobacco. But the reasons will be a little bit different. I think you're going to have a massive struggle here, a massive tug of war over this. I mean, because then you're going to argue over cigarettes and is there such a thing as a safe cigarette? But the bottom line is, if you want to drink, you drink. If you want to smoke a cigarette, you smoke a cigarette, and it's your choice, right?
Right. Yeah. You deserve the right in the nation where under law you have the freedom to choose and.
Right.
You know, I don't like all the choices some people make that may be bad choices that harm their lives. But they had the freedom to choose, and that's the core of the issue. The government's taking one more, like you said in your last little segment, your monologue, the government's taking one more freedom away, and we're losing it. And these states, it's snowballing right now.
It's snowballing.
It may be a small snowball, but small snowballs turn big quick when they get some momentum built up.
Yeah, I agree. Don, good caller. Glad that you caught us, certainly on the station. Please call us again.
Great.
All right, so if you want to chime in, you can, too. 800-259-5791. Now, somebody hearing that, though, the other side is they'll say, well, listen, you don't want these teenagers smoking cigarettes, and look at the amount of deaths, and look at how harmful, and look at the how addictive nicotine is and all that other sort of stuff. But see, then it's what you're doing, though, across the board with anything that's a, quote, vice. It's like food. A lot of us eat too much, don't we? Oh, yeah, we eat too much. We're too big. We're eating too much fast food, whatever. So what if that becomes the next thing? So the person who is not smoking cigarettes, the person who just occasionally has a drink or two, but the person who loves to eat isn't going to love it when the government regulates how much you can eat, when there is certain clauses about obesity and what is obesity and what is overweight and all this other sort of stuff. I mean, already we've kind of seen that. It's like talking about the airlines and the 17 inches and now that the United Airlines is doing it. Some of the other airlines are doing it. I mean, you can always look and see the other side. And, geez, yeah, that makes sense if it's harmful to people and all that other stuff. But you have to be careful what you wish for, because then the next thing down the pike is the thing that you care on your list. I mean, we're all selfish creatures to some extent, right? Even if we're generous people, even if we do have the good Samaritan bones in us, you care about what's around you. And I find this all the time. People who seem to be satisfied, they're satisfied, they're going along, no bumps, no hitches. But then all of a sudden, it happens to them. Somebody takes their job away. Somebody takes one of their rights away. Oh, I've seen people go from passive to active faster than, I can skid through a stop sign and get ticketed for a California stop, which unfortunately has happened to me way too many times. But you get my drift here. So when it doesn't affect you, you kind of laissez-faire about it. But when it's in your backyard, boy, it's a whole different story, isn't it? Just like, it's like anything. It's like the whole flood insurance deal and what happened to a lot of the people in New Orleans, people who had paid premiums forever and ever and ever and ever and ever about floods, and then how some of them got ripped off by State Farm Insurance or some of the other insurers down there because they would debate their case as to what really destroyed the house. And all these people just living their lives. Everything's great. They got a piece of the American dream. They're in their late 50s and early 60s, and they've worked their whole life. And here they have this house, and it's bought, and it's paid for. Poof! Overnight, it's gone. And then they get nothing for it, and they're shocked. But I paid my insurance premiums forever. I have this flood insurance, but it doesn't cover that, because that's not what happened to your house. Or it doesn't cover this, or it doesn't cover that. So you know where I'm going. It's very easy to have that, point of view until it's your turn, until it happens to you. And eventually, that's what happens. Something comes your way in your neighborhood you don't like. Another great example of that, a lot of people, when they talk about pedophiles, oh, someone's does their time, and geez, they should be rehabilitated. The ACLU is brilliant about this. Well, why can't they be X amount of feet from the playground? Because they've done their time and all this other sort of stuff. But then when something happens, then everybody panics, right? So, and maybe you're one of those people that you think, everybody can be rehabilitated until it's affecting your kids and your neighborhood. So the smoke signals are up. And Giant Tobacco kind of backed this anti-tobacco bill, trying to play in that same space, hoping they could have a little more control, but I think they are going to be sadly mistaken. 800-259-5791.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more. All at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-800-800. 34 no tax. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi, summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to upthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
From the past. Hey, everybody. Hope you're having a great morning wherever you are listening to America Tonight. We've talked about a bunch of different things, including this FDA now involved with the tobacco companies. And I'm cutting to the chase and cutting a lot of that out. But the Senate passes a bill that will allow for some pretty radical things happening to the tobacco industry. Now, the tobacco industry kind of played along on this bill. So if you think R.J. Reynolds and Philip Morris have lost their minds, no, because they have an army of attorneys. They've been through many, many lawsuits, and they've been through a lot in the legislative process, and they have, you know, big-time lobbyists. So the idea, I think, might be to play along, but ultimately, how deep will they let the FDA in? If you look at what's written in the bill, it's written to seem as though the FDA can certainly jump in on the whole marketing thing. But as far as the product is concerned, which is the big deal because of the nicotine, that's what it seems like certainly that the government wanted. But how far will that actually go to becoming a reality when it comes to the tobacco companies? Because it's not going to be... You know, it's not going to be a bunch of people from the FDA flying down, shaking hands, going right into Philip Morris's coffers and, you know, testing all the cigarettes. There's going to be a tug of war over a bunch of different things. And maybe even in the marketability, there may be some of that as well. It's not, in other words, I don't think it's going to be such a complete layup. And of course, it hasn't been signed into law yet because the president still has to do that. I'm wondering where the animal rights people are when they hear stories like this, because obviously it's a scary situation what you have at LaGuardia Airport, because they have the problem with the geese, and it's also near JFK as well. So New York City is afraid to, I think the city itself, the city council, etc., they're afraid to risk people in the planes being pelted by birds and having the situation that happened like it did on that U.S. Air jet that went down, that Captain Sully landed in the Hudson and became the huge hero, of course, of 2009 when he saved all those lives. But New York City say they plan to trap and kill 2,000 Canadian geese this summer to try to avoid that type of collision that caused the plane to ditch in the Hudson. The hunt is going to take place on dozens of city properties within 5 miles of Kennedy and LaGuardia airports. So the aviation types have culled the bird flocks on airport property for years, but this is pretty wild that they're going to expand this into other parts of the city, including 40 public parks. So they're going to time this with the molting season when the geese can't fly, and it's going to begin in a week. Because airplane collisions with the birds, check this out, guys. Imagine this. The airplane collisions with the birds have more than doubled at 13 airports since 2000, but the ones in New York are particularly bad. I guess Sacramento also has some big trouble with this as well. But I'm surprised that there haven't been any protest over just gassing the geese. So that's what they're going to do, though. The FAA has a list of wildlife strikes. They publish it actually on the internet. You can look at it. And there have been, this is crazy, I didn't realize this, since 1990 there have been 89,000 incidents, including 28 cases since 2000, when a collision with a bird or another animal like a deer on a runway was so bad that the aircraft was considered destroyed. Ooh. So, of course, you can't risk the lives of passengers on planes. But I'm surprised that there isn't another way around this whole geese thing. I mean, what do I know? But because I don't know much about what you would do with Canadian geese. But they're going to gas them? Wouldn't there be a way to capture them and do something? Well, I guess they would go back because it's a habit thing. So I've answered my own question. If you didn't gas the geese, they would go back to whatever it is, wherever it is that they would normally gather, which would mean, sure, if you captured them, great, but then they would just fly back to the place where they're familiar with, which would mean you wouldn't really do anything, so I guess they have to gas them. But like I said, I'm surprised there's no protest from anyone. Maybe there will be, and it's because it's just really been announced that they're going to do that. So far, PETA, animal rights, all those kind of people are not saying anything about the fact that New York is going to do that, including going into public parks. Wow. I know this isn't a surprise to probably most of you listening. Our friends in Vermont on WVMT, an affiliate there, Charlie and Ernie, I love it that they play the fireman's song every day just to remind people about 9/11 and to not forget all those poor souls who lost their lives. And ultimately, the end of that would be capturing bin Laden, getting bin Laden, right? So every president who's come in, which would be just Bush, because that happened during Bush, his second term, you know, happening in his first term, going into his second term, and now, of course, Obama, saying that the chase is on for Osama bin Laden. Well, the CIA director, Leon Panetta, says he believes Osama bin Laden is still in Pakistan. They hope to close in on bin Laden as the Pakistan's military is pretty much cracking down on the tribal area where they think he is hiding. Wow. That's pretty much tipping your pitches there. Panetta was telling reporters this after a speech on the Hill, that finding bin Laden remains absolutely one of the CIA's top priorities. And he's hoping that the combination of all this CIA activity and what's happening with the military, Pakistan's military, will give the U.S. a better chance of trying to actually nab him. Panetta said in his speech, the CIA has increased the number of officers and agents in Pakistan who are providing and targeting other information to attack the network there. Well, of course they're doing that. But can you imagine if out of all of this, Obama, finally bin Laden was caught? Because like I said, Obama, Bush, etc., of course, the hunt is on. It's always on, always on for Osama bin Laden. And if they can catch him, more power to him. More power to the CIA if there's a way to flush him out. But you have to think this. How do you think bin Laden would travel? Bin Laden would probably travel with bodyguards, right? And do you think if anyone got close to bin Laden, there isn't an order to either kill him or for him to take cyanide or whatever? I would have to say that I bet that that's the way it would go down. Probably the bodyguards are ordered to kill him if he is ever uncovered. And if not, then there's something he could just take for himself. Then there's the other theory that's floating around, that bin Laden has actually really been dead for a while. Do you really believe that he's running around the mountains, that he has problems with his kidneys, and he's running around with a dialysis machine? If he had a really bad kidney problem, could he be alive at this point? But yet you see the CIA authenticating the tapes that are released. And how would you, I think it'd be pretty hard to replicate that and fool the CIA with a specific news events happening. I gotta think that he is alive and kicking around somewhere. And it's just too complex to try to find where he might be at this point. And of course nobody is flat out turning him in for the reward, because nobody wants to do that. He's too well protected. Or is he in a hospital somewhere? Another theory that's floated around is that he's in a hospital actually being kept alive. Conspiracy theories also abound on the bin Laden deal. I'm not even going to go in that direction, okay? Let's just say this. As somebody who was there, somebody who saw what happened when New York fell the way it did with the towers, and I have to say, man, I hope they get him and I hope they choke the life out of him. If I were the person, if I were the agent, the person, the whoever, and I did have the opportunity, and there was no cyanide pill, and he couldn't get to it fast enough, and the guards were picked off, and they couldn't shoot him, or whatever the case might be, and I was the one that captured him, boy, I'd be hard-pressed not to wrap my hands around that guy's throat. And then, of course, the theory is, so many people know, if you have bin Laden and then you do something with him, you try to have some kind of a trial, do the same thing that you did with Saddam Hussein. You think that the reaction to it would cause more problems than you can imagine, that you would just completely rip open Pandora's box like you've never seen, and the chaos that would ensue in the Middle East would be beyond anything that we've seen. It would pale in comparison. But I would say this. If bin Laden went down, if bin Laden did go down and nobody could get to him before he was captured to kill him or whatever, I still say that somebody else would take his place anyway. So I don't believe that theory that it would, you know, chaos would ensue beyond belief if that were to happen. I don't believe it. 800-259-5791. As usual, here on America Tonight, we're talking about a plethora of things. You can join the conversation. Aaron, hang on. My pal in Kentucky, we're going to him next on America Tonight.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you 1 dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. 406-251-3270 today.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
You've probably heard about the incredible, powerful, and natural antioxidants found in red wine. Unfortunately, not everyone is able to drink a glass of wine each day. Now, you don't have to drink even a single drop, thanks to NuRev. NuRev is America's number one anti-aging supplement, thanks to its active ingredient, resveratrol. Resveratrol is the main nutrient found in red wine and has been proven to help slow down the aging process, help you lose weight, override an unhealthy lifestyle, boost your energy level, and so much more. NuRev has been the subject of some of the most exciting anti-aging research in decades and has only recently become available in purified form. Now, you can discover the amazing health benefits of NuRev for free. Just pay to have NuRev shipped to you. Get your free sample now at NuRevOnline.com. That's N-U-R-E-V online.com. NuRevOnline.com. Improve your life today.
That's the first that I know about that, Billy. I've tried to reach out to them, and I've done several appearances, and, I mean, I've been cooperating with them. I don't see why this is happening. Of course I want to be Miss California. I earned it. I deserved it. I won. I beat out 90 other girls. I mean, this is something that I did, and I accomplished, and I would like to continue to be Miss California.
All right, Carrie Prejeune is out. She lost her crown the other day. She talked to Billy Bush on his radio show. That was a little slice of that. And now the new Miss California has spoken out and was asked about her beliefs in marriage, and she said she thinks it should be a man and a woman, but that the Californian should have the right to vote. So here we go again. Take two, eh? Donald Trump comes out the best in all of this because he got massive publicity. He's the king of publicity. And then that pageant rolls on, and let's face it, I mean, it was inevitable that she'd be taken down, but it was probably more PC, since we live in the PC world, to wait, have the big press conference, let things roll on, and then I think the pageant people probably tried to do whatever they could to trip her up. Now, do I know that for sure? No, but it just seems that way, and when I've seen them speak, don't know that I believe when they say, well, she's missed hundreds of appearances. Maybe they try to jam up her schedule. Who knows? Bottom line is that chapter is closed. She moves on, and geez, we all move on, too. We're talking about a whole bunch of different things on this show. Aaron is listening to us in Kentucky, rather. Hey, Aaron, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm great, Kate. How are you tonight? Guess what it did a whole lot of here in Kentucky tonight?
What?
It rained. Again. Again, and I kind of feel like we're like a distant suburb of Seattle for some reason, because it rained a lot there, and I'm 37, and I cannot remember a year where it has rained so much. We just had our share, I'll just say, like, yeah, we've had our share.
Yeah, no kidding. I knew it was raining a bunch. I didn't know it rained again today, but That's pretty funny, because is there any other place besides Seattle where you're getting quite as much rain? And I know what that's like, brother, because I was saying on our last show that I was in 75-mile-an-hour winds. It was ridiculous because Texas got slammed by some horrific weather. I felt like I was Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz. It was scary.
Yeah. Well, I've got a kind of funny comment, kind of lighten the load there, and then I got a question, I guess. Well, for those listeners that go to church, if you have small children, you know, children are wonderful, and then church and stuff, you know, they say they're really honest and stuff, and it really makes you smile. I've got my 6-year-old twin boys that they're sitting out with us now, and we had communion last Sunday, and you know, my children, for some reason, they don't know how to whisper quietly, but they try. But we, you know, they took the, you know, the communion and all that and stuff, and the one says, Dad, this is a great snack. You know, of course, people around us hearing him, you know, kind of smiling and everything. And so I was trying to, you know, whisper to him what it meant. And he said, Dad, your breath smells like crackers. So, you know, it was funny. I kind of had a smile too, you know. But,
I love that.
Yeah, he's really honest and stuff, so I like that. I hope they continue to do that.
What are hold on a second. You have two twin boys, 6 years old. What are their names?
Wesley and Kyle.
Oh,
and something funny about them and stuff as far as their birthdays. One was born February 28th, and one was born March 1st. So they've got different day, different month with leap year in between. So just something,
that's
pretty neat. That's pretty neat.
It is neat.
As far as my question, and you know, as far as conspiracy theories and stuff, you know, and you may have talked about this, I may have missed the show or something. But did anyone ever suggest that maybe like the swine flu, H1N1, whatever it's called now, that it could be like, you know, some kind of germ warfare? And if they haven't, then, you know, the possibility arises because how easy then would it be, since that's got passed, you know, up from Mexico up to the U.S., you know, with people traveling there and here and all that, you know, how easy would it be to introduce something like that into the United States if somebody wanted to?
Yeah, Aaron, it has been suggested. We talked about all the things surrounding the swine flu and whether or not it was overhyped or it was underplayed or was there something else behind this? Because if you're right, if you think about it, there's a good way to spread something. Except for that in the United States, in New York, it's been pretty bad. And some of the border states have gotten it, but it hasn't, the epidemic, we'll say, hasn't been as bad yet in the United States as it was as far as deaths, of course,
yeah,
as in Mexico. But that doesn't matter. If somebody, let's say there was a conspiracy and this is the way, this is how we get to the Western world, you're right, wouldn't it be a brilliant thing to do?
And, you know, one of those that it doesn't have to be, kill zillions of people, but just,
right, just enough,
kill slowly, you know, and just
right,
kind of them to whoever would have done it, you know, to kind of sit back and kind of, you know, laugh to themselves or whatever they would do, you know, because, you know, there's already been some people die. And I know that it's been, deemed a pandemic by the World Health Organization, so.
Yeah, today. Yeah, that's it's interesting in bringing that up. Aaron, thanks. You have a great weekend.
Okay, you too.
Yeah, let's hope that isn't the case. But hey, you know what? There are a lot of different theories floating about the swine flu. And here's the deal: we've never heard exactly, at least to this point, it hasn't been pinpointed. You know, the health organizations haven't pinpointed to the exact cause, the exact patient, the exact person, the whatever. Just there are a bunch of theories about parts of Mexico, and it really did spread from Mexico. But ultimately, where's the number one? What was the number one person, the number one cause? Mark is listening to us in Kentucky. Hey, Mark.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks for calling. What's in your mind?
Well, you've covered so many subjects. I want to thank you. It's first time I've ever listened to your show. I'm a truck driver headed to South Carolina tonight. And, man, I don't know where to start. When you got on that Bin Laden subject,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When's the last time we've even seen him?
Yeah, it's been only on videotape couple years ago, because the last videotape we have is a still picture.
Okay. I haven't seen him in years, and then when we had that battle where we bombed that hillside, and that's the last time I recollect that anybody has seen him. That's been a few years back.
Yes.
And,
oh, yeah, it's been like 3-4 years at least, yeah.
And my theory is he's dead. Nobody's seen him, and I think they're keeping him alive. You know, and he could be alive, but I really don't think he's around anymore. I think they're using him to keep the fear in people, and I don't know. There's a lot involved there, but
he could be. I mean, of course, we don't know. Leon Panetta says they have evidence, the CIA, that he is, and that they're close. They feel like they're closer than ever to being able to get him. But, you know, there's certainly ways to fool, and it would be to the advantage of the Taliban, of Al-Qaeda, et cetera, of just the movement in general, to pretend he was alive, and there are ways to try and do that. And I wouldn't put it past them, no.
No, I agree. And about the geese, I mean, that's a catch-22 there. I know a lot of hunters would like their opportunity just to shoot them and you give free meals to somebody or something, but what are you going to do there? You know, it's killing people.
Yeah, it's killing people, but that's why I said I'm surprised in knowing New York, especially New York and the way they play, that there hasn't been somebody that's come out to say, oh, no way, you cannot do this. You have to protect the geese or whatever. But you're right, it is a catch-22. What do you do? Because, you know, originally I thought, well, of course you capture them, but the geese are geared to fly. They would fly back to the same spot. It doesn't matter where you take them. And you can't, they're not zoo creatures. I mean, you can't do that. Then it would probably be more inhumane. I guess they think gassing them is probably the most humane thing to do.
Yeah, I wonder if they captured them and moved them
someplace else.
Would be like somewhere, you know, on the other side of the United States or something, would they still fly back to New York?
I think they would still fly back. Because you know how that's that instinctual thing with birds and the flocks and the migratory patterns that they have? So I would think, you're right, it is incredible. I would think that that's what they would be geared to do. That's how they're wired, unfortunately. It's a weird story. I'm glad you found this, Mark, and a big shout out to all the truck drivers listening. Please call the show. I am the proud granddaughter of a lifelong trucker. I know all about traveling around the country. And all you have to do is when you find us, call this number, 800-259-5791. Thanks to everybody who emailed as well. Appreciated a lot of people with the thumbs up on the tobacco thing, but then just as many from Kentucky saying thumbs down. You can shoot us an email day or night, americatonight.net.